Good morning, all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So this morning, we suppose a morning chanting. To the blessed one, the Lord who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which he expounded so well, and to the blessed one's disciples who have practiced well, to this the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offerings our rightful homage. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still had compassion for little generations. May these simple offerings be accepted for our long-lasting benefit and for the happiness it gives us. The perfectly enlightened and blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one. The teaching so completely explained by him, I bow to the Dhamma. The blessed one's disciples who have practiced well, I bow to the Sangha. Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha, homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one, homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one, homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Now let us chant in praise of the Buddha. The Tathagata is the pure one, the perfectly enlightened one. He is impeccable in conduct and understanding, the accomplished one, the knower of the world. He trains perfectly those who wish to be trained. He is teacher of gods and humans. He is awake and holy. In this world, with his gods, demons, and kind spirit, the seeker and sages, celestial and human, he has by deep insight revealed the truth. He has pointed out the Dhamma, beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, beautiful in the end. He has explained the spiritual life of complete purity in its essence and convention. I chant my praise to the Blessed One. I bow my head to the Blessed One. Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma. Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One. Can be realized in the here and the now, beyond time, beyond thought, inviting investigation, leading inwards to the heart, Nibbana, can be understood by the wise, each for themselves. I chant my praise to this teaching, I bow my head to this truth. Now let us chant in praise of the Sangha. They are the blessed one's disciples who have good conduct, who have upright conduct, who have wise conduct, who have dutiful conduct. That is the four paths, the eight kinds of noble beings. These are the blessed one's disciples. Such ones are worthy of gifts. worthy of hospitality, worthy of offering, worthy of respect. They give occasion for incomparable goodness to arise in the world. I chant my praise to the Sangha. I bow my head to the Sangha. Now let us chant our salutation to the Triple Gem and a passage of encouragement. The Buddha, absolutely pure with ocean-like compassion, possessing the clear sight of wisdom, destroyer of worldly self-corruption, devotedly indeed at Buddha I have held the teachings of the Lord, like a lamp illuminating the path and its fruit, the deathless, that which is beyond the conditioned world. Devotedly indeed, that Dhamma I have heard, the Sangha, the most fertile ground for cultivation, those who have realized peace, awakened after the accomplished one, noble and wise, all longing abundant, devotedly indeed, the Sangha I revered. This salutation should be made to that which is worthy through the power of such good action. May all obstacles disappear. One who knows things as they are has come into this world, and he is an Arahant, a perfectly awakened being, purifying the way leading out of delusion, calming and directing to perfect peace, and leading to enlightenment. This way he has made known, having heard the teaching, we know this, but with suffering, aging is suffering, sickness, disease is suffering, and death is suffering, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are suffering. Association with the dislike is suffering. Separation from one's loved one and our past possession is suffering. Not attaining one's wish is suffering. In brief, the five aggregates of grasping are suffering. These are as follows: identification with body, identification with feeling, identification with perception, identification with mental formation, identification with consciousness. For the complete understanding of this, frequently instructed his disciple in just this way. In addition, he further instructed, the body is impermanent, the feeling is impermanent, the session is impermanent, mental formation are impermanent, consciousness is impermanent, the body is non-self, feeling is non-self, perception is non-self, mental formation is non-self, consciousness is non-self, all conditioned phenomena of the impermanent, and is non-self in the condition and the condition about by the aging, sickness and death, by sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief and despair, bounded by suffering, obstructed by suffering, let us all aspire to complete freedom from suffering. God is the one who long ago attained Pari Nibbana is our wish. So too are the Dhamma and the Sangha. We follow the pathway of the blessed one with all of our mindfulness and strength. We then the cultivation of this practice lead us to the end of every suffering. Okay, we'll do the closing homage. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivadeti. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasanggo sanghang namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Okay. According to the program, we're supposed to meditate again, eh? But never mind. I think we will split the sharing, then meditation, then sharing again. Eh? We will now continue our sharing from page 243, eh? Appendix 6. We have finished explanation now. Cultivation, the triangle, the Trinity diagram. Mm. Then 6.1. Manya, can you read? A trained mind.
6.1, a trained mind. The trained mind is always silent, heedful, peaceful, relaxed, and naturally aware within. It has the clarity born of inner peace and inner awareness to see things as they are, leading to the wisdom needed to arise the wise attention or uniso manasikara at every moment of sense experience, so that one is always at peace with the moment to live life. It will listen to you. If you want it to be silent, it will just be silent, peaceful and aware. It will just be so. You can use it and direct it appropriately to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, leading to the heedfulness. It will become like a servant to you. It will serve you well. The trained mind is ever mindful and constantly meditative. Hence, it is the base from which wisdom will keep on arising. 6.2, an untrained mind. An untrained mind is heedless. It thinks a lot and reacts easily to sense experiences and is constantly lost in thoughts most of the time. And as per Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead. It is like a devil's workshop and it will make you very evil. You have no control over it. It usually controls you and takes over your life, causing you suffering. The thinking mind, the mundane mind, which is heedless, need to be trained. Deluded with wrong views, it easily become angry, selfish, emotional, and fearful, hence the suffering. He has no understanding of what is going on in life. He lacks wisdom because it is deluded. 6.3, training the mind. Without wisdom, living beings are heedless, hence they suffer because they don't understand life. To understand life, one must understand the secret of life, which is the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha. To understand the Four Noble Truths, one must train one's mind to be heedful, to understand what is going on in life, so as to understand who we are, what we are, and how our mind functions, so that we understand what causes us suffering and how our deluded mundane mind get muddled up in life. The untrained mind is heedless and not peaceful because of the five mental hindrances of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and doubt. These mental hindrances will hinder one from entering the meditative state of inner peace with inner awareness. And to overcome the five mental hindrances, One only needs to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties of Saddha, Viriya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya as taught by the Buddha. When the five spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrances will be gone, and the mind will be trained automatically. That is why you should work on the cultivation of the five spiritual faculties via your puja or devotional practices and daily religious routine. The three phases of Dharma are Pariyati, Patipati, and Pativeda. First phase. Pariyati is the learning of the teaching or Dharma as taught by the Buddha. Second phase. Patipati is the cultivation while putting the Dharma learned on into practice in daily life so that it can become a living reality. Third phase. Pativeda is reaping the fruits of one's cultivation or hard work.
Okay, the next one, I think I will do it. Huh? The three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. So on the left-hand column, we have the spiritual faculties that are involved. Then the third column is the three phases of Dhamma. So phase one is Dhamma cultivation or Pariyati, which means we learn the teaching or doctrine to develop a very stable understanding of what this teaching or Dhamma is so that we know how to develop the cultivation. So phase one is pretty easy. Huh? Just listen or read up. Nowadays you can read up, huh? And develop the understanding. So Pariyati developed through Sutamaya Panya, the first turning wisdom, born of hearing or reading the sutta or Dhamma talks, recording, books, notes, etc. So Sutamaya Panya is more towards the basic understanding in the form of words, in the form of knowledge. Pamasri, you want to see your... So this first learning wisdom is more towards the understanding part of it. It's more superficial knowledge type of learning. So when you listen, if you have what they call past cultivation, then when it is the truth, then you will awaken. And this is first turning wisdom. Then sometimes, like nowadays, we can read about it. So when you read, when there is truth, you can also awaken. Because it's just like the Surangama Sutta. When I came across the line, perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. Oh, straight away my nature rejoiced. I said, this is beautiful. And that time, before I read that, I really thought nobody had that understanding. But the sutta, yes, the sutta has Surangama Sutta. So you have your past, you read up or you listen. Then if it's the truth, you can awaken. But these type of beings are more rare, more rare. So because of that, what normally is been taught or done by cultivator of the ways, they read through the thought, the thinking mind, as knowledge. Then they will try to understand it. Then when they have some form of understanding, it means they have already starts to develop the superficial Dhamma. Then after that, they will move on to the second turning. Second turning is Chintamaya Panya. So this second turning wisdom is developed through contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into all the teachings so that one can stabilize the understanding and assimilate all the Dhamma that has been heard and read to set the base for further understanding later on Yeah, any of the first, second, or third turning. So phase one is relatively simple, huh? But second phase is more difficult. Second phase, you need sati, samadhi, and panya, means meditated. The first phase, you only have faith driving you to develop the understanding, that one easier, the first two spiritual faculties. Then Patipatti means the second phase of Dhamma, which is putting the teaching into cultivation. When you cultivate the teaching, it will give rise to a more stable, or what we call penetrative, type of wisdom. So here you will develop the third turning wisdom called Bhavana Maya Panya, or the third turning wisdom born of Bhavana or meditative cultivation. Then the moment the mind is silent without thought, you are already aware or in sati, so that understanding is very important. Use the silent mind to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, that is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, to become heedful. A truly silent mind sees the real Dhamma via direct seeing, or seeing things as they are. Then underneath is my advisor. When the spiritual faculty has become unshakable or balanced, it is difficult to cultivate Patipatti, second phase of Dhamma. It is not difficult to cultivate Patipatti if you are really determined and sincere. Just cultivate the spiritual faculties, Saddha, Virya, Sati, leading to Samadhi. Sati, when stabilized, will accumulate into Samadhi until they are unshakable. Then the mental faculties will become spiritual powers or balas. Then wisdom will keep on arising, and then you will awaken. So this is how the cultivation partner, Patipatti, can be developed. Means you really put the Dhamma into cultivation based on what you have developed as understanding under phase one. Then after that, we enter the third phase. After you have cultivated, developed the understanding and awakened, then phase three of Dhamma cultivation, which is Pativeda, will arise. So Pativeda means reaping the fruit of your hard work or cultivation. This phase, you will get to live the life of a noble one, lead the noble life. And this is the most beautiful phase of one's life, when one can truly live life to the fullest. Then living the life of an awakened one. Okay, you continue, Maya.
6.4 Importance of Sati to walk the path of Dhamma. Sati is extremely important because without Sati, one will become heedless. One will not be able to follow the Buddha's advice to strive on with heedfulness, Appamattana Sampadeda. One will not be able to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind following his Dhammapada verse 183. One will not be able to keep one's precepts. There will be no five spiritual faculties. There will be no four foundations of mindfulness practices. One will not be able to investigate the Dhamma, Dhamma Vicaya. There will be no seven factors of enlightenment. There will be no Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. 6.5 Important advice to meditators. Number one, don't try to know anything during meditation. Number two, just silence the mind and let things be. The understanding will arise on its own. Number three, the moment you are truly silent and relaxed, Sati is already there. This is the silent mind that can investigate into all phenomena. Then let the phenomena tell you the story. Don't go and look for the story with your thoughts or Dharma knowledge. Note, the pitfall of thought-based meditation is one is limited by the instrument that one uses to develop the meditation, hence their inability to realize the enlightenment, which is beyond thought and beyond mind. One needs to inquire deeply to find out for oneself who is the meditator. If it is the thought which is actively doing all the noting, labeling, chattering, and trying to describe the Dharma and trying to develop the meditation, then that is not the silent mind. The real Dharma can only be realized when you are truly silent. 6.5. Using the silent mind, Samasati. When your mind is silent, without any thought, you will understand everything that is going on within your five mental aggregates of form and mind. And you will awaken to the three characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. You will understand how, upon contact, consciousness comes to be, and then how within the content of consciousness, you will see how your mind stirs after you input your mental intention born of your wrong will. Then how upon contact, the seven universals, which are common to all consciousness, arise simultaneously. The feeling part, you will feel it clearly and you will understand how upon contact, feeling arises. But because you don't have wisdom or you lack universal manasikara, wise attention, at the moment of sense experience, feeling will be immediately conditioned into craving. Hence, without wisdom or universal manasikara, you cannot cut that feeling. You will see all this within your meditation. And that is the real direct seeing. That is how you will come to understand clearly that this conditioned arising mind, the steering of the mind, and the reactive mind are not your true mind. They arise because of your wrong views. Then the four noble truths, one by one, you will come to understand them. You will come to understand the realities of life and existence. What is suffering and the cause behind its suffering is arising. 6.6. There are
no,
five.
There's a note. There's a note.
Oh, okay. Note number one. The seven universal mental factors. Sabba citta sadharana citta sikas are common sadharana to all consciousness. Sabba citta. They perform the most rudimentary and essential cognitive functions without which consciousness of an object would be impossible. They are 1. Rasa contact, 2. Vedana feeling, 3. Sanya perception, 4. Chitasa volition, 5. Chitana volition, 5. Ekagata, one-pointedness.
Oh, this one, the spelling wrong. Chitana, not sa. Chitana. C-E-T-A-N-A, Chitana.
C-E-T-A. Number 6, Jivititriya, life faculty. And number 7, Manasikara, attention. 6.6. There are 5 ways to overcome unwholesome thoughts or negative mental states. The Buddha taught 5 ways to overcome the unwholesome thoughts or negative mind states during meditation. The first way is to think of the direct opposite, wholesome thought, to abandon the unwholesome thought. The use skillful means of right effort to, number 1, third right effort to arise the unarisen wholesome thought, number 2, fourth, right effort to refine upon and perfect the wholesome thought that has arisen. Under remarks, do good. The second way is to reflect and contemplate upon the danger and grave consequences of holding on to this unwholesome thought. They are the 3 evil roots that can bring about karmic negativities. Then arise the right effort to abandon this unwholesome thought. The skillful means are first, right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought that has arisen. Second, right effort to prevent the unwholesome thought from arising in the future. Under remarks, avoid evil. The third way is just to silence the mind, to train the mind by deconditioning it from the heedless thinking.
There is a title on top. The third and fourth way are meditative training to develop wisdom breakdown.
Okay. The third and fourth ways are meditative trainings to develop the wisdom. The third way is just to silence the mind, to train the mind by deconditioning it from the heedless thinking and grasping at sense experience. By just being silent and aware, without any thoughts, the mind will settle down on its own and return to its natural state of inner silence and stillness. The moment you are silent, you will come to know that all these emotional negativities, all the evil roots and mental hindrances, they are merely conditioned arising mind states, and they are never you, i.e., anger is not you. The understanding and acceptance of the reality of all conditioned arising sensations and emotions at the moment of sense experience, without any reaction or steering of mind, can lead to profound wisdom. Under remarks, purify the mind. The fourth way is to trace the origination factors and retrospectively reverse it via wisdom, the wisdom way, to free the mind. That is, using the silent mind to trace the origination factors of the negative thought or mind state and then reverse it retrospectively via strengthening one's will. Train the cultivator to develop the right understanding, the true understanding, via mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense spaces, Dhamma Nupassana practice, to arise the third turning's wisdom of Bhavana Maya Panya, tracing the original factors of mental states.
Dhamma, origination, tracing the origination.
Tracing the origination factors of mental states. Dhamma Nupassana, mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. Under Dhamma investigation, see how they arise, usually through the three major sense doors of seeing, hearing, and thinking, then retrospectively reverse it via wisdom to understand how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be by just being aware. To counter the mental hindrances via cultivating the five spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, cultivated to strengthen one's will.
To strengthen
one's will. Then mindfulness of the five mental aggregates of form and mind. See how the five mental aggregates come to be, their condition arising, hence impermanent, suffering and non-self or empty nature. See how you deludedly grasp, cling, and attach to them via self-delusion or sakaya ditti. Third one is mindfulness of the six external and six internal sense spaces. When you had understood what these five aggregates of form and mind are, and you had developed a stable sati to be aware of them, then you can trace the origination factors via the mindfulness of the six external and six internal sense basis practices to see clearly how the external sense data upon contact with mind and their respective internal sense basis trigger off sense door consciousness and its related mental activities via the 12 links. See how due to wrong view, your mind stirs easily. When you contemplate and reflect, you will realize that if you don't do anything via right view, to see things as they are, it will naturally cease to be. The fourth one is mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. To refer to the four foundations of mindfulness or Satipatthana Sutta for further details. And lastly, the fifth one is mindfulness of the four noble truths. to refer to the four foundations of mindfulness or Satipatthana Sutta for further details. B. Reversing it retrospectively. The key here is the silent mind. The silent mind can trace all the origination factors to develop the much needed wisdom, uniso manasikara, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, to retrospectively reverse it via wisdom. As per the Satipatthana, you will come to know how the unreasoned fetter or hindrance comes to be. Then you will come to understand how the arisen fetter or hindrance ceases to be. The fifth way, with teeth clenched and tongue pressed against the palate, one should, with one's mind restrained, root out these unwholesome thoughts. And in doing so, these evil and unwholesome thoughts of greed, hatred, and delusion will dissolve, and the mind will inwardly become settled and calm, composed and concentrated. Sheer determination requires a very strong willpower to abandon the unwholesome thoughts.
Okay, we stop here. It's 9:14, coming to 9:15. So you can have your 1 hour meditation.